Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us chef owner of Babette's Cafe, a real favorite of our previous guest, Hawkins. Please join me in welcoming to the show, Miss Marla Adams. Hello there.
Good morning. Thank you.
So did you pick up anything, learn anything valuable in that last segment?
Well, social media is a big concern for restaurants. And unfortunately, after 25 years in business, I'm finding that a lot of my time is spent on social media and getting words out in platforms. Right. And this direct link, I actually kind of invested in a little company that sent text alerts. They were in beta testing to guests when we had last-minute openings, and people loved the connection. I thought it would be a bother because I'm old, but they very much loved it. So it's what everybody does. You know, it's a time-consuming, Instagramming, Facebooking. It's a big job. It's a big job.
So Marla, what is Babette's Cafe, and how did you come about finding it?
Well, I started it 25 years ago. I've been in the restaurant business for 38 years. And I know I don't look that old.
You don't.
But it's radio.
You should be all hunched over and haggard. 30 years in the restaurant business.
My back's shot. But I started the restaurant on a shoestring. And I based it from the movie Babette's Feast, which is that's a generation ago. Actually, it's on Broadway right now.
Oh, really?
They recreated it. It's a short story, and it was made into a movie. It won the Best Foreign Film, and it was about a woman chef in a very austere setting. And it was a woman housekeeper. And for this dinner or this event, she took some lottery winnings and created this incredible dinner, and it changed the community. It's a very kind of... It's a very beautiful story about food and what it can do to a group of people. So
it impacted you enough to want to start your own restaurant, start your own business?
No, start my own business. I had hit a glass ceiling, honestly, working for some other companies. And, I just didn't know what else to do. I mean, I was just a crossroads. Mm-hmm. So I had some support from my parents. You know, in the old days, you could open a restaurant on a shoestring. Now you need investors and millions of dollars. So, it was just a point in my career where it was that or nothing, because I couldn't go back. And I didn't feel comfortable going back and working for somebody else. So
why a restaurant? You just have a passion for food?
Well, I have a degree from the University of Virginia in Russian studies. And I was going to go into...
Makes perfect sense.
Yes. I was going to go into the agency, quote unquote agency. And that summer, I grew up in Northern Virginia. My father was in the agency. So, and then I just took a break and I said, I think I'll just, go work in a bakery for a summer. And my father was very upset and I loved it. I just liked working with my hands. I said, I can get paid for making pies and cakes and, standing on my feet all day. I mean, it was a craft and it was different part of the brain, and I just fell in love. So I continued to cook for a few years and then went to the Culinary Institute in Hyde Park. So I found my thing.
Did you feel that you needed to go to the Culinary Institute to get some level of higher education before you opened your own restaurant, or was that another step? Okay.
Well, again, women in the business were, 30 years ago, were not on the same par. In some instances, they still aren't. So I had to go get some credentials.
Okay.
And then I came back. I moved to Atlanta on a lark and thought I'd go down there a year. And here I am 35 years later in Atlanta. And the food business was just kind of blossoming with the restaurants. And I always had work. Mm-hmm. And I never thought I'd open my own restaurant because it's a headache. Mm-hmm. But you just get to a point that you just don't want to work for anybody else anymore.
Yeah, I gotcha. So you said you always had work. So were you kind of like freelance? You were doing events. And
No, I worked for other companies. I worked for Bucket Life. I worked for the Peasant Corporation, which you might remember, but not many people do. Again, another generation. And I opened a hotel during the Olympics, the Penta Hotel. So I had I had about 15, well, as a staff member, as a chef within one of the restaurants. So and they sent me abroad to open a couple of other restaurants, another hotels. I had some experience.
Wow.
Before I did it.
So when you opened these restaurants, does that mean you were the head chef at those?
No. I was just actually at that point, I was in the business side and the cost control side. So,
okay.
But it was an opportunity. It was an opportunity to live in hotels that were half finished. And
wow.
People think, oh, that's so great. And it's like, well, you know, you don't have hot water. CNN is the only television station on the air. Sorry. I'm not supposed to mention another race. But you know, every I hurt my back and had to get out of the kitchens for a while. But then I got into food and beverage, the management. I learned all about the computers, point of sale systems. You just kind of have to take what, you know, life gives you and learn from it. So without those experiences, I wouldn't have been able to have a restaurant survive and, you know, excel for 25 years because it is very dollar oriented.
Yeah. So from beginning with the passion of loving to, you know, work with your hands and working with food to going through all the way through the business side and learning from that aspect, was it hard for you to have kind of switch gears and do that from working with the food directly to switching to the management side? Was that challenging at all?
It was, but in my own restaurant, and part of the reason I'm a one restaurant girl. I mean, I haven't expanded on. You know, I'm very hands-on in both areas. I have chefs, I have kitchen managers, I have bar managers, you know, I have a management team. But, you know, if I lose a manager in one area, I go out there for a year and then I lose the manager in another area and I go back. So I haven't. And in the meantime, there's all these other challenges with the friggin' internet. You know, life was so much easier before reservations and the internet. But I don't like the management as much, but I'm good at it. Mm-hmm. And I want my team to progress and learn I challenge them and I push them and I get my money's worth out of them. And they like working for me. I have some people haven't, but I have some people that have been with me for a long time.
Yeah. So of all of the experiences that you've had from starting working in a bakery and then all the way through now traveling and I mean, and being in Atlanta during the Olympics, of all those experiences, what would you say helps you the most in relating to your employees now and imparting upon them wisdom or just sharing your own experiences with them? Would you say there's a particular experience that helps you the most in doing that?
It's maybe a negative experience.
Yeah.
I worked at one of the hotels, and when I went into management in the hotel, my boss, the general manager of the hotel, I went to clear a table, and he said, "Oh, no, no, you should be telling somebody else to clear the table." And I was like, "She's busy. The table's dirty. And the customers are around. I'm going to go tidy the table." So I am very hands-on. I mean, I like pouring a glass of wine for the guest. I like, you know, I brought bread and water to a table the other night. And they go, "Oh, my God, the owner is. I can't believe you're doing this." And I was like, it's what I like to do. So I like polishing silverware. I like cleaning shrimp. I mean, not so much the shrimp anymore. I've cleaned a lot of shrimp, but yeah. I think that's what makes Babette's unique is that I'm there. I don't have a, I'm not just looking at spreadsheets. Spreadsheets just put me to sleep.
But it's true. It adds that level of, it's so personable having the owner of the restaurant come out and serve you or come out and just pour your wine, pour your glass of water. That's, I mean, it adds that level of intimacy that's different than, you know, a bigger restaurant or one that maybe uses so much the traditional forms of media like we were talking about before.
I mean, I use all those forms of media too. And yes, I do. But it's just what Babette's is. I mean, I think it's very unique in Atlanta. And we've been there 25 years and there are a lot of other restaurant groups that have been open 25 years. Everybody says, you're the only one. You know, Bacchanelli has been around. Soda's been around. I don't want to plug too many of my competition, but you know, we're all of the same age and we all have been doing it a long time. And I guess we're all figuring out our exit strategies, but I don't have one yet.
Well, that's good. But coming out on the, I mean, you said you've been around for 25 years in Atlanta and then coming, just going through the internet age and everything that's come up with social media, how have you kind of stayed in front of that? I mean, clearly it's the history and what Babette's Cafe is and what it means and that personal touch, but how else have you stayed in front of it and still been around for 25 years and been so popular?
You just have to adapt. I mean, any business has to adapt. Right. It was a big change for us. And a lot of, at the beginning, we were all very excited about it because it was, wow, this is just so easy. It's just a great tool. But now, you know, the algorithm help is, you know, so now I have someone that I hire to do Instagram and Facebook, oh, wow. You know, yeah. Photographs. And we tried to do it in house and we couldn't do it. And now local search and web designers. I mean, it takes a lot of time and it's very frustrating and it's very expensive. But
yeah, it's crazy how much.
And it takes away from what I want to do.
Exactly.
But how are we doing on the, I don't even know what the right word is, which may be part of the problem. Gender equity, women being able to make it in this arena.
I think that they're very capable. I think that some of them go and raise families and they're not in a position to work the evenings and the weekends. I find that with the new cool dads, that's a problem with the men too. You know, when they have young kids, I've lost some people to their children. I think that a lot of women, when they get into the older restaurants, you know, I'm talking maybe 10 years ago, the cooks, the ladies were kind of kept in the cold station, the pantry, the salads. And, you know, I just always, you know, push them and said, no, you're doing this now. And I think there are a lot of women in the business, but it's not conducive to families. I raised a daughter, my husband and I raised a daughter, but he, we had a unique situation. He was a detective with the Atlanta Police Department and he worked the same hours as I did. And, you know, we paid a lot for nannies the first few years. And then he retired and he became the primary caregiver. He did a good job. Yeah. But the opportunity, I think, is there, is if the women are going to just take the challenge. Women are a little shy. Oh, I don't know how to do this. And they back off a little bit. And I think men on the other hand say, yeah, I can do
We're
it.
We're not shy enough.
Yeah. And then they can't, so they don't listen. So they fail. So there's pros and cons of both. So you deal with them differently.
As the owner of Babette's, and just how do you impart that upon your employees and just people that come into your work and between men and women, trying to bridge that gap and making them understand and helping them to understand, again, utilizing the experiences that you've had?
You know, I tell them some stories and I tell them, well, I did this before you were born. And, you know, I just, it's the way you treat them and what you expect out of them. And you see the other members of the staff see it. And so it's just the way Babette's has always been.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that, you know, it's a tenant, I guess, it holds it and how you've been able to be around for 25 years. Yeah.
I've succeeded in some male kitchens. And I've surprised them. And, you know, I'm not afraid. I'm cautious, but I'm not afraid. I'll do it.
Where does that fearlessness come from?
I'm vain, so I don't want to fail. And I don't want to look bad. Yeah. And that's probably the strongest.
I want to hear about Chef Justin.
Well, Justin is actually leaving us.
Ouch.
Yes. We're talking about, yes, there we go. He's leaving. He has a young son and the shifts are killing him. So he's taking a job that is during the day. Wow. So I have a young woman on my staff. I have a couple of guys that have worked for me for 18 years.
Wow.
15 years. And they know the kitchen inside and out. And I have a young girl that joined us last summer. She's not very young, but she's younger than me. And she is just going to be, you know, the candidate to take over the ordering and, the cost controls and kind of as a kitchen manager. So it's an opportunity actually for her to step up and be given that opportunity. So I mean, Justin and I thought we would go into the into the old age together. He's a great, great guy, but things change, and I have someone on board, and I'll probably be back in the kitchen a little bit.
Yeah,
which I'm kind of excited about. My friend of the staff is sick of me out front. I get in their way, so we'll see how it works.
What are these things that Donald and I have been feasting on?
These are pierogi of pork and veal.
Pork and veal.
And onion. Oh, and
melt.
And the dough.
You start you've talking about it. Donald has some okay.
I brought Katie. Okay, you can have one more, and then Katie gets some.
I've had like four or five.
They're almost gone.
It's a pastry we make. Yeah, maybe we make everything in-house except our bread. And this is a... It's supposed to be a tarragon reduction sauce with it, but my staff and customers will cringe if they hear this, but my husband was cleaning the kitchen, which I was very happy he did, and he threw away my little ramekin of tarragon reduction, so it does not have all the tarragon it needs. But pierogi, they've been on, it's actually a dish from my aunt. My father was Albanian, so I grew up with a lot of Middle Eastern influences. I lived in Istanbul as a child.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of, it's just a little meat pastry.
Well, it's delicious.
It looks great. And so is a big part of what you do too then, creating new recipes, coming up with new dishes, or is that just, do you draw on like your heritage, draw on family recipes?
I do some family recipes, but they're a little too Middle Eastern. I'm trying to do European provincial. Google has made us French because nobody Googles European provincial.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
So we kind of come up with, right? Yeah. So we come up with French, and my husband's been saying, you can't do that. I said, yes. But we, you know, we tag Italian and Spanish. So we're trying to be Southern Mediterranean.
Okay.
And I come up with dishes, but, you know, I go back to, it's the food, and it's kind of my sense of the vernacular of food. So what you would get in a farmhouse in Europe, you know, you're not going to get foam, and you're not going to get food stacked high. You're going to get a lamb stew. You're going to get what's out of the garden. We're very seasonal. You know, the seasons don't really mesh in Georgia with what you might think. So we wait on English peas, and we wait on, you know, Maryland crab, and, you know, so we wait on those things. So it's the menu's constantly evolving. And I have some items on my menu that I can never change. The pierogies will never go away. and then, I rotate the rest, or I come up, but I'm always kind of looking back to you just have to put your head in a different place. And it's a very different place from the marketing and the, you know, cost controls and that kind of thing. So, you know, I have to kind of get out in my garden and think about the food and what goes well, or what's coming in now. Nice, you know, you have artichokes. Well, we insist on California artichokes. They're much nicer than the Mexican artichoke. I'm sorry, but we all buy a lot of produce from Mexico, whether we know it or not. And, you know, so I'm using them here, and we're going to use them there, and let's try something new with the artichoke. So the food kind of dictates where we're going.
Okay. And so do you find yourself having to kind of set up different amounts of time to, I mean, give mental space to that, just so to think about the business side of it, but to also take into consideration the quality of food and where it's coming from and what you want the dishes to be in the seasons? Is just kind of two different mindsets? Or
it's two different mindsets. Mm-hmm. And it's at least two different days.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to go in and say, I'm not going to look at these numbers. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to answer these phone calls. And then, of course, you come up with the dish, and you've got to go back and you've got to cost it. You've got to see whether the value is there, what you can charge for it, or what is going to be perceived as valuable. Or so you have to then apply it to the business. But and that's what I find very challenging, even with buying wine, or, you know, there are just so many different parts of the restaurant business. So if you're bored, you are not pushing yourself. There's a book to read on wine. There's a winemaker to study. My husband and I just went to California, and we drove through Santa Barbara. And I said, you know, there's a lot of good wine that comes from Santa Barbara. And he goes, oh, there's, and we, you know, vineyards here and vineyards there, people, you know, people we buy from. So it's very exciting business.
Yeah. I mean, and it certainly seems like that.
It sounds better on radio. It really is.
Great. It's super exciting. So is there a particular story maybe of a patron that's been coming to Babette's for years and maybe a dish that impacted them or just maybe a reason why they keep coming back?
I think we have some front of the house people that have been with us a long time, and they're comfortable. It's a white tablecloth, older style restaurant. It's quieter. I mean, on Saturday nights, it gets pretty loud, but it's a quieter restaurant. I'd say that the biggest compliment I had was I had a long, long time customer pass away. And in his will, he left a party at Babette's for all his friends.
Oh, now that is class.
Wow.
That's awesome. Yes. That's the highlight. But no, we got a lot of regulars and we try and get new people too. You've been open 25 years and you need the younger people. Mm-hmm. I'd say our target audience is 30 and up. Don't need the really younger people that are looking just to drink a lot.
So. Yeah, there's a clear divide. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So how do you get the word out about Babette's and how could we learn more and visit you?
Well, we talk about who we are, and I don't want to say it's Marla, but this is my staff is they're all in the are all as committed to Babette's as I am. We have a email list, you know, just people knowing the story and people knowing what really goes on behind a restaurant, and you know the lives and impacts and the you know people that you take care of amongst staff, and whether you have insurance or not, we're a small company. It's cheaper if they don't get insurance through us. But you try and take care of them. It's just telling the story. And we send out emails, which we have about 5,000 people on our email list. And wow. You have to come into the restaurant to sign up. We don't have online sign up because we want, you know, it's one-on-one. And so that is actually our best marketing is the emails. I try and just do them once a month. And Facebook, and someone's taken over Instagram. I don't do Instagram. I don't know how to open the app. But we're getting traffic. You know, it goes. I know I was watching one of your shows recently, and you had a food blogger. Mm-hmm. So the food bloggers, right. It's just... familiarity, more times people hear your name. So you go to events, you do events.
All right. So best coordinates, website, phone number, email. What's the best way?
Babettescafe.com.
Babettescafe.com.
You'll find everything there. It's a nice, very expensive site.
Well, Marla, thank you so much for coming and hanging with us. Thank you so much for the marvelous food. We really should leave that last one for
Grammy.
For Katie. And thank you both for being part of the show. This has been a lot of fun and absolutely just beats the heck out of working, doesn't it, Katie?
It does.
All right. This is Stone Payton for Katie Galley and our guest today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Atlanta Business Radio.